How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making this part of your daily routine. We are back on the day-to-day grind. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Jay King from MassLive.com. Joining you today to talk about Marcus Smart making a little bit of an impact, showing some maturity. We're going to get into the rebound. Marcus Morris has avoided jail time. Jaylen Brown made some interesting comments. Baby. And Kyrie Irving dominated some one-on-one basketball. We'll talk about all of that. Thanks to our sponsor, SeatGeek. Make sure you get that SeatGeek app. It's the easiest way to buy and sell tickets with just a couple of clicks, and we'll get you $20 off your first purchase in a few minutes. But first, Jay, you were at the game last night. Last night was me and Sam Packard. By the way, just so I'll let people know the excitement surrounding the Boston Celtics right now. Last night's recap of our first preseason game is already, in less than 24 hours, our fourth most listened to show in all time. So I think people are a little bit thirsty for this Boston Celtics team to come back.
People want to see what this team is all about, man. I wanted to see what this team was all about. I was really excited to see for the first time this team in action. And I thought the preseason opener was pretty promising. Like, they obviously weren't totally in sync. They have a lot of shit to iron out. But they want to make this work, and they're willing to try really hard to make this work. I think that was the takeaway from the first game. Like, they were hustling their asses off defensively. They are long. Aaron Baines brings a new level of physicality. And all the stars, everybody up and down the roster, shared the basketball and wants to play team basketball and wants to cut really hard and wants to use all the mobility that this team has. And so I thought it was really promising. Obviously, there were some things to iron out, like Gordon Hayward probably needs to be a little more aggressive looking for his shot. And Kyrie Irving probably wants to shoot better than 4 for 11 next time. But in a lot of ways, like that preseason opener was – it showed a lot of potential for this group. And it's – when you see this group – out there on the court, I've talked about this on previous podcasts, but the mobility just jumps out. This team is long. This team is athletic. This team has a lot of different playmakers that can all attack you. And when they were driving and kicking and driving back into the paint and getting 3-4 paint touches sometimes on a possession, like, that is going to hurt teams. That is going to hurt teams a lot. This team is young and athletic and talented, and it doesn't quite know what it's doing yet, but it's going to be fun watching it try to learn how to figure all of this out.
Yeah, I think the most important thing to take out of the first preseason game is the things that maybe didn't happen, which Kyrie didn't dominate the ball and try to go ISO all the time, which is great. You know, they didn't throw the ball like out of bounds all the time. They were overpassing for sure, but
definitely overpassing.
They were definitely overpassing, but that's okay. Like
that's what you want.
Of course. Like, I would rather have that. And I guess that's the biggest thing that didn't happen was they weren't just selfish. They weren't just going for theirs. So the fear that Kyrie was going to go ISO, at least the beginning, right away, you don't have that kind of fear coming true. He may settle back into that role a little bit more, but I think Brad Stevens probably wants him to settle more into that role and do the things that he does best. So I enjoy that they tried to do maybe too much unselfish, and then you just pull it back a little bit rather than draw the unselfishness out. So I think of all the things that may be positive and not overreacting to what we saw, because it is only just one preseason game, that's the thing.
And they weren't great. They missed a ton of shots. Like, it wasn't like a great performance, but from the standpoint of how did they look in the first time we saw them, and basically their mindset as a team, you wanted to see the selflessness. That was the main thing, because there are so many new faces and because there are so many talented guys, two new stars. You wanted to see how are these guys going to try to work this out? How hard are they willing to work to make this work? And it was very clear in that first game that they are stressing on everyone. Pass the ball, drive and cut, sharp cuts everywhere, move off the ball, move with the ball, like pass that bitch around. And and it looked pretty good. There were sequences that were really good. There were sequences that were really ugly. And it was preseason basketball for sure. There's a lot they need to work on. But I think the mindset of this team in that first game was really promising.
Yeah, no, I like that. You shared a great clip. The Celtics kind of ran like a old school three-man weave off the top, but then Al Horford came back and gave a back pick to Gordon Hayward, who took one dribble and drilled the three. So, I mean, that's just a nice kind of fluid part of the offense. It's going to be interesting. Like, I saw them running a lot of things trying to get Gordon Hayward going. He definitely needs to be more aggressive. But, again, just like he needs to be more aggressive, Kyrie Irving needs to be kind of like he just needs to keep expanding his game. So I like where they are.
And one thing now, I noticed more the second time I watched the game, Gordon Hayward was a defensive stud. Like,
yeah, see,
that dude,
I didn't get to watch the game again.
He is physical. He is athletic, and he's a rugged defender, but he's going to help them a lot defensively.
Yeah.
He's
underrated as a defender.
He can guard a lot of guys. He really jumped out defensively on tape. I was watching him like, okay, Gordo.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. We said that before on the show too, that his defense is going to surprise a few people, and he has a very complete game. He is a very complete basketball player, and I don't think a lot of people, just because he was in Utah. And there's just not a lot of Utah Jazz basketball out there. If you're not watching on League Pass, people don't understand just how good Gordon Hayward is. And we're going to start to see it. And eventually it's going to emerge. And now one thing that we saw last night was Marcus Smart starting on the bench. And today it was revealed that Smart had a conversation before the game with Brad Stevens. And Brad Stevens was kind of debating. And Marcus basically said, just keep me on the bench. I'm fine with that. You know, I enjoy it. In fact, he said, you don't have to start me. I love coming off the bench. I love coming in and bringing that energy off the bench, which is a sure sign of maturity, a great thing to kind of solve a problem for Brad Stevens, where I know before in media day, Marcus Smart said, yeah, everybody loves to start, but when it comes down to the games, he understands that he has a role that works very well for him. And it's nice to have a guy step up and say, you know what? No, I'm cool playing my game and bringing me in off the bench, especially because he's obviously going to get a ton of minutes and he's going to be finishing games.
Yeah. I think that's a key part here. Like, he knows he's going to get a lot of minutes. He's gotten a lot of minutes his whole career for the Celtics, whether he's been on the bench in the starting lineup whatever. He's always been one of Brad Stevens' main guys. And Brad Stevens for years has said, you know, Marcus Smart, we consider him a starter, even though he's on the bench. And that's just kind of what it's going to be. And I don't think Jaylen Brown's a better basketball player than Marcus Smart, but Jaylen Brown might fit better in the starting lineup. And Brad Stevens thinks right now that Jaylen Brown fits better in the starting lineup. And so Marcus Smart, he's just a winner, man. He doesn't care.
Yeah, that's true.
He never gives a shit. As long as he wins, he's happy. Like, that's just what, that's just who he is. There's not much else he wants to do other than just win. So shout out to Marcus Smart for taking the right team attitude, but it's very expected, very in character for him.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. I mean, that's exactly who Marcus Smart is, and this demonstrates his value to the team. He goes out there and he will do whatever it takes. Who cares if it's the first 5 minutes of the game that he's out there? For some guys it matters, but it doesn't. But we know what Marcus Smart's
gonna do. It does not matter for Daniel Tice.
It does not matter for Daniel Tice. It doesn't matter for future Hall of Famer and currently the best German player in the NBA, Daniel Tice.
Hey, 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 hey. Dirk Nowitzki, do not disrespect my man Dirk. Just reel what? That one
no,
back.
It's no disrespect. Obviously, he has demonstrated Daniel Tice. He is probably.
I mean, he's more productive than Dirk's ever been.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we can extrapolate out
per minute.
Did you see his
per minute
net
stats
rating?
Are
Did
better than Dirk's career wise? Yeah.
After that game, oh man, off the charts. I would say that Daniel Tice is a guy that you should buy tickets for because you never know what he's going to do something amazing. So get that SeatGeek app, download it, and get your Daniel Tice tickets. The Celtics play at home again on Monday. Or if you're in Philly on Friday or Charlotte next Wednesday, go and download that SeatGeek app so you can catch that Tice fever. Tice, baby, as people have said.
Vanilla Tice.
These are things that people have tweeted at me, which is just hilarious.
Oh,
so
man.
Get that SeatGeek app. They have a seamless mobile experience. You can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. They help you find the best seats at the best prices. It's fully guaranteed. Nothing quite like seeing Daniel Tice or a Tice-level musician or other type of entertainment in person.
There is no such thing as a Tice-level musician. They're all beneath him.
No, they're all beneath, right. No, it's true. I'm just trying to make them feel better. Get that SeatGeek app. I've got it. Jay's got it. Jay's used it for giving gifts. We've used it to go to, you know, find a concert. I've used it for other sports. It's very easy. It saves you time, money. It does all the searching of multiple ticket foot sites. It gets you the most bang for the buck because it grades every ticket. You can set a price alert. So when it finds the best seats that fit your budget, it will let you know. Like I said, every price, every purchase fully guaranteed. So you can search in confidence, make it your go-to app, find the best deals for everything, sports, concerts, comedy, theater. They got it all. And you can get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase by using the promo code LONBA. We have not changed the promo code to Daniel Tice yet. We've just still LONBA. Download the SeatGeek app. Enter the promo code LONBA. You get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All right. So Tice did some fun things out there. A lot of guys did a lot of things. And one thing we saw that we didn't see last year a lot was they out-rebounded the team, which is always amazing for these Boston Celtics.
Shocking.
And we were worried that their rebounding might get worse. But one thing, Danny Ainge was asked directly by Bob Ryan on his podcast about this. And the point that Danny Ainge made in that was they got longer around the perimeter. And it is a good point that a lot of the rebounding issues that the Celtics had last year came from guys on the wing swooping in and getting past the guards and getting rebounds and hurting them. Yeah, obviously there was the Robin Lopez experience that just crushed them and Tristan Thompson crushing them
And Marcin Gortat for a little while, and basically any big man who had a little strength to him. They were just a bad rebounding team. And part of it was the length. Part of it was interior muscle. Part of it was just they weren't good rebounders. But yeah, they're definitely longer this year. It's very clear. Longer at every position. From Kyrie, who's 6 inches taller than Isaiah Thomas, to Jaylen Brown, who's 5 inches taller than Avery Bradley, to Gordon Hayward, who's 3 inches taller than Jay Crowder. Like, just everywhere, they're just longer. And then they have Aron Baynes, who finally, for the first time of the Brad Stevens era, sorry, Chris Humphreys, sorry, Vitor Favorani, they have a real muscly, tough guy in the middle. And I guess Humphreys was kind of that, rebounding-wise, but Baynes is the biggest, baddest dude that they've had in the middle since Brad Stevens became the coach of the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, Humphreys wasn't all of Australia like Aron Baynes is.
Shout out to Tommy.
What's up, Tommy? So I thought it was interesting, though, that Ainge brought up that wing length, because the Celtics did get bigger around the perimeter. That as much as we love Isaiah Thomas and as much as we love Avery Bradley, they were small. And starting Kyrie Irving, who's taller, and Jaylen Brown, who's taller, and Gordon Hayward, who's taller or as tall and athletic, more athletic actually than he's not a beast like Jay Crowder was, but more athletic, and he can move a little bit quicker laterally. So it's an interesting thing, and that may be enough to help the Celtics rebounding problems.
And look, I don't
multiple times. I they just need to not suck. They can be bad. Yeah. They could be below average. They just need to not be the worst.
And I still do think they're going to be below average. Like, they're going to start Al Horford at center a lot, I think. They're still going to have Jason Tatum playing four sometimes. And even though he's a good rebounder, he's going to be giving up size. They're going to have Marcus Morris at the four. He's going to be giving up size to a lot of guys. They don't have a 7-footer on the roster. They don't have, besides Baynes, any other real physical guy who I think will play minutes. Yabusele is obviously a really strong dude, but I'm not sure he'll be in the rotation. So I do think rebounding will still be something they need to pay attention to and take care of, and it won't be something they excel at, but it might not be something they suck at either, which would be nice.
Yeah, just don't suck at it. That's all I've ever wanted. That's it.
Just don't suck.
Just don't suck. And hopefully the return of Marcus Morris, who is not going to prison.
No click.
I continue to feel weird that that's what I'm rooting for. But yeah, Marcus Morris not going to prison. So he's going to help the Boston Celtics. I don't know how much he's going to help the rebounding necessarily. He's not really a great rebounder, but any big body helps.
He's another big body. He's another tough dude. He's another skilled guy. He's going to help them, man. He's a pretty good player. So just another long, skilled body to throw out there. The Celtics have so many long, skilled dudes. They're just everywhere. They're just going to come at teams in waves this year. Waves of long, skilled dudes. So
isn't that the whole point of the positional versatility? Isn't this what we wanted?
This is it, man.
What they wanted. This is the team that they built. A bunch of guys that you can throw out there and just play wherever. Just Jaylen Brown can play the two. He could play the four. That's what they want. A bunch of guys who could play the two or the four. And you can slide Gordon Hayward over to the two or go small with him at the four. You can do that with just about anybody on that team. It's just a bunch of...
He even played some point guard offensively at least last night. So mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, Gordon Hayward can absolutely initiate the offense. I mean, so many guys. I mean, look at Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart initiates the offense, and next thing you know, he's boxing out Dwight Howard.
Yeah, like, that's skinny Marcus Smart, still very strong.
All right, now let me ask you the question before we move any further that Sam asked me last night on the show. Is it slim Marcus Smart or skinny Marcus Smart?
I think it's skinny.
Yeah, see, I went with skinny myself.
Skinny just sounds funnier to me. I don't know why.
It does.
Skinny Marcus.
You know what? Can I tell you what I do want to start integrating into regular rotation is Tommy Heinsohn's quick forward. Instead of the small forward, I want to start using Tommy Heinsohn's quick forward terminology. I love it.
A lot of quick forwards on the Celtics. Quick forward.
I really love calling it the quick forward. I think I really, honestly, no bullshit, want to start using the term quick forward. It actually makes more sense to call them quick forwards now than small forwards, because they're all the same height and they're all quick.
So if they're all quick,
there's a bunch of quick forwards.
Is everyone a quick forward?
I guess Marcus Morris would not be the quick forward. He'd be more of a power forward. But it's basically Marcus Morris, Baines, and Horford. Everyone else is kind of quick forwardish.
Tice?
Maybe Yabu, Tice. Semi. Tice? Yeah, all right. Maybe not. So we just basically named half the team, so shut up, John. I want to remind everybody that the Locked On Podcast Network exists and exists greatly throughout the rest of the NBA. You can go to Locked On Hornets to get their take on what they saw last night. You can go to Locked On Sixers to kind of get a sense of how they're feeling. We're playing the Sixers on Friday. You can go to Locked On Sixers and check out how they're feeling about, you know, they got a great team, young guys, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, just kind of see where they are. Any team you want to check up on, if you have a second favorite team or you want to go Locked On NBA or Locked On Fantasy, be sure to search out your favorite Locked On podcast and or all of the Locked On podcasts. You can subscribe or just listen to the shows. It's well worth your time. Okay, Jaylen Brown had some interesting comments, kind of addressing comments that I guess were published in Complex a while ago, where he kind of called the trade of Isaiah Thomas to Cleveland for Kyrie Irving weird. And the quote is, well, first of all, he said it's not weird anymore, but he kind of questioned whether, you know, what the culture was. He said, okay, here's the quote. The trade changes the whole dynamic, the whole culture. We'll see if it's good or bad. Time will tell. But it's still a little weird to me, to be honest, because when I came in, everything they stressed was culture, environment, Celtics basketball. Now it's like, what is the environment, the culture? What is Celtics basketball? So, Jay, you wrote about it. He kind of explained it and backtracked a little bit. Why don't you kind of explain from there?
It just kind of felt like he almost reacted to the trade like a fan, like everyone else did. Like, yeah, of course it's weird that the Celtics have Kyrie Irving now. And of course it's weird that they traded Isaiah Thomas to the team they just lost to in the Eastern Conference Finals. And of course it's weird that they broke up the core of a team that won 52 games and won the number one overall seed and was so young and so promising and this and that. So yeah, of course it was weird. And of course, like, he didn't know what the culture was going to be. They lost everybody who was their heart. They lost Isaiah Thomas, who was really, I thought, the soul of that team. And they lost Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley, who were big parts of the attitude of that team. And so Jaylen Brown, he almost reacted like a fan. Like what the hell is going on here? Right. This is a strange trade.
That quote basically encapsulated everything that we said on the podcast after the trade.
Yeah, and obviously it's more interesting because Jaylen Brown's on the team, and Jaylen Brown is someone who, like, lives in the organization and is still wondering about all these things like all of us were. But it was interesting to me that he did react like that, and it was, he was open about it. And then now he's kind of like the rest of us, like, oh yeah, well, Kyrie's on the Celtics now, and it's going to be pretty cool to see what he can do. So it was, he honestly felt like, it sounded like he was anybody else, like just any Bostonian paying attention to the Celtics over the last couple of years, falling in love with Isaiah Thomas and enjoying the rise of Isaiah Thomas and the plucky Celtics, and then wondering what the hell was going on after they traded so much to get Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. Although he did say today that he made those comments a long time ago.
It was two weeks ago. Like, it wasn't that long ago.
Right. It's not weird anymore. 2 weeks, I got it. Done. Figured it out.
That was before training camp, look, in his defense.
I was going to say, yeah, that is before training camp started. So, you know, it's not weird anymore, of course. So everything's good, but it is interesting. Jalen really is fascinating. He really is fascinating.
He's
to
a
me.
Thoughtful dude. He thinks really about is. Everything, and I'm really appreciating the Jalen Brown experience from a media perspective, because he's open about things. He's introspective. He's reflective. He's candid, and he's interesting. He's an interesting guy.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to me to see how that is received over the course of his career, because some guys can get away with that, but other guys can't. But I think that if he's just like, this is who he is, and if this is who you are, you can get away with sometimes saying things that might raise somebody's ire, but you can say, well, this is just who he is. He's actually reacting, like you said, like a fan, like a human being, observing a situation and not giving you the canned response, which it's the one thing that I think is horrible is our desire to get more than a canned response, getting that not canned response, and then killing the guy for being actually honest. Like how many, I see it all the time. Whenever a player actually gives an honest answer, the reaction is almost immediate. Like, how can you say that? What does he mean by that? Blah, blah. We're so used to getting the canned responses that anything outside of that ends up becoming like, whoa, wait, what does he mean? What's all this? So it's nice. I really am fascinated by Jalen Brown, and I'm really interested in him moving forward. The fact that in the first 2 years in his league, he's the union rep, that's amazing. I don't know how often that happens. I have no clue. But to me, I find that amazing that he's thoughtful enough and just interested enough, involved enough to represent the team in any sort of CBA related issues, to go and deal with the union, that he wants to do that. How many rookies want to be a team representative like that? I don't think that happens very often.
I think their last one was Kelly Olynyk, right? And he was really young when he took on that role. I could be wrong there. I don't know.
I honestly don't know. I don't necessarily follow those little. It's the one thing that I don't really pay attention to. Who cares like who the union rep is, except that Jalen Brown did it for his rookie and now his sophomore year. Like that's really, I think, impressive to me.
Yep.
All right. Jalen. We'll leave it at that. Thoughtful also impressive Jalen. Today as we get ready to wrap up the show, just a fun little thing that Jay, you shared, Kyrie Irving schooling people one-on-one. It was Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown, and who else?
Devin Williams, training camp guy.
Okay. And he just – it's so funny because you can see – not to overanalyze a one-on-one game, but you can see, like, he has all the little tricks in the book. Like, Jason Tatum was kind of sliding along with him, and he quick-jumped off the wrong foot to get a shot off over him. Jalen was overly aggressive, so he just threw him an up fake. And Devin Williams is bigger than him, so he just took a step back fadeaway. Like, he has all these little tricks in the book that he says, oh, okay, this is what you are. I'm going to go to this. And it's just a nice little kind of insight into just how good a scorer Kyrie can be and just how far away those other guys are.
The man can score that bitch.
Yes, he can. That's an appropriate place to end. You can score that bitch by subscribing to our podcast wherever you find your podcast: Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, whatever. A bunch of things that I probably haven't even heard of. Spotify, because we're on that bitch on Spotify. You can say, "Hey Alexa, play the latest Locked On Celtics podcast," and it will. Your smart home technology will do that. So we are out there everywhere and rising up the rankings. So subscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a good review, share. Be honest with you guys, there's a lot of podcasts out there, a lot of podcasts. We're all fighting for that space. So share the word. Let people know that they should be listening to Locked On Celtics, because otherwise, we're great. We're going to rise to the top. But there's a lot of elbows out there, and we need your help to get past a lot of these other podcasts. So spread the word. Let people know. Tell 5 friends and get the word out there that they should be listening to the Locked On podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Jay King and John Corrales.